Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. All right. So there was a pretty big announcement last night at 6 o'clock that there's going to be somebody else running to become the next mayor of Shelton. And that is David Eldridge. He's been on the show a couple of times before. And David is back this morning to kind of share with us why he is running for mayor of Shelton. Good morning, David. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. So, David, first of all, I know you are very connected to the city of Shelton, but why run for mayor now?
You know, over the years, I was involved in politics before, being on the Board of Aldermen and elected twice for that. And then there was a short, brief time where I had stepped aside and had let the city run and let the powers that be take care of what they should have been taking care of. So after the last 2 years, I sat and looked what was actually going on in our city, and peeling, once you peel back the a layer of the onion or lift the veil, you actually see that low taxes are great, but at the same time, you need to keep the services up. And that's where we were lacking. And from our police department, our emergency services, our parks and recs, our roads, and most certainly the technology upkeep in our school system.
Give us a little bit of background, David. I know a lot of people from Shelton know of you, but they may not know you personally. So tell us a little bit, just sort of your connection to Shelton. What does Shelton mean to you?
Sure. I was raised here in Shelton. My family was from Shelton. I was a 1981 Shelton High School graduate. From there, I joined the Marine Corps. I was there for my tour, and I served in Beirut, Lebanon, and Grenada. Came back. I went to school up in near Boston for an airframe power plant license. And then I worked at Textron for a short time, then was employed by the city of Shelton at the police department for 31 years, which I recently left. During my tenure at the police department, a good percentage of my time was devoted to narcotics and vice crimes. And I was assigned to the state police, statewide narcotics task force for some time. And so I'm passionate about when we talk about the level of crime that's increased, the passion comes in when I know what the addiction rate here is in Shelton and how these young kids are getting addicted to the OxyContin and now switching over to the heroin. And with the fentanyl mixed in it, it's such a dangerous combination. So those are certainly priorities to address the sale and helping these kids to not ever get on it. So that's certainly a priority.
David Eldridge is here, and he is throwing his hat in for the race to become the next mayor of Shelton. Now, David, as you have a background in law enforcement, what are your thoughts on guns and in sort of curbing gun violence? We haven't seen it so much in Shelton, but that's not to say that it will not or does not exist. We have seen it in major cities right here in Connecticut, Bridgeport, Norwalk, Hartford, New Haven, just in the last week, let alone in this last year, most recently. What would you say needs to happen to keep Shelton residents safe?
Well, with gun safety, with guns involved, there's always the educational part of it, the teaching kids the safety and what to do when they are around a gun, if they do find a gun. And it happens quite often, or when a child could pick up a gun. So education is very key on that. But as far as fighting it and going out on the street, having it a Valley Street Crime or a detective division and knowing all the players in the town and who are the up and coming ones that are a potential to violate and be violent. It's key to find out who these players are. And they come up through the system gradually. And here in Shelton, when I first started, we had 8 people in our detective bureau. Now you only have 3. What's crazy is when you recently Market was on the show and he had mentioned defunding police. Well, back in 77, the Shelton Police Department had 41 officers. When I left in July of last year, 2020, we had 41 officers. So if anyone promotes defunding police, it was certainly this administration. At one time, we were up to 60. And having a department that's keyed on your detective bureau and a Valley Street Crime, what happens is that intel gets passed back down to patrol. And now patrol could know what cars to look out for, what people to keep an eye on for, so we can keep pressure on that end. And by keeping that pressure and that proactive approach, what happens is that lessens crime in here on town. Doesn't get rid of all of it, certainly not, but you can't do nothing about it, and that's where we're at here in Shelton right now.
Forgive me, David Eldridge, but I may have misunderstood, but when I had Mark Loretti on yesterday for the show, I think he was saying that he thinks it's ridiculous that people want to defund the police. I think he's been a huge proponent in supporting our police departments. So, I mean, unless I misunderstood him, I thought he made it very clear that he does not believe in defunding the police. In fact, he wants to bolster their efforts in Shelton.
Absolutely. That's what he says. What he says and does are two different things. As I said, in 1977, the police department had 41. When I left in 2020, there were 41 officers, and our population doubled. The businesses doubled here in town. And at one time, we were up to 60. And then, like I said, when we left, we were at 41. Now they recently hired 8 officers. But that still doesn't bring you back up to the levels that we were in 1989. So he might say he's against defunding police, but in his own budget and what he says and what he does are two different things. Each year in his budget, he has money put in to allocate for officers, just like he has money to allocate for certain things in other departments across the board. But what happens is it never gets done.
David, I might be out of range asking this question, but it seems like you and Mark Loretti have like a personal issue with one another, despite running for mayor. There seems to be, did you guys ever work together or anything? Like, is there an underlying issue between the two of you?
No, work together in the private sector? No. Do we have an issue with each other as the way he ran the city and has run it down? Yes, certainly. And when he had mentioned I was disgruntled, of course I'm disgruntled, and so are a lot of other Shelton residents. We're disgruntled because when we look around and see the condition of our roads and the traffic downtown, the parking garage that should have been built 20 years ago and hasn't. When I opened up the restaurant, Anna's Cafe, with my partner Anna, we were going to be denied of parking, and that was back in 1991. And how is it that parking is still a main issue in 2021?
Okay, well, David Eldridge, I know we're going to have you on the show, I'm sure, again in the near future, especially as we get closer and closer to the election. And actually, just so you know, and our listening audience, we are working very tirelessly here at WICC. We are going to be putting together live debates for some of the biggest races happening here in our listening area. And of course, Shelton is a very important race. And I'm hoping that you and incumbent Mayor Mark Loretti will agree to be on that. Of course, we'll talk about that off the air at a future time. But I'm hoping that we can sort of address these things with both of you together so that people can really understand both your campaigns and what it would mean for the city of Shelton.
Absolutely. I look forward to that.
All right. David Eldridge, thank you so much. Good luck. And we'll talk to you again really soon.
Your city, your mayor. Melissa in the Morning with Mayor Joe Ganim, WICC 600.
Well, Mayor Ganim, I know we have a lot to cover this morning, but we have to start with obviously the biggest news story, which is it's a big day today. Businesses across the state of Connecticut are basically making decisions on what they want to do because mask mandates, social distancing protocols, curfews, capacity numbers, that all goes away from a state mandate point of view. What are you finding in the city of Bridgeport? How are Bridgeport residents feeling, businesses feeling? What are you hearing?
Yeah, it's been long awaited. I think people are happy. There's still a little uncertainty over certain things we can touch on, but it feels much like, I don't know, a mini Independence Day where you can kind of say, wow, we really can kind of plant a flag in the ground or mark the calendar today and feel like we really turned 99.9% out of this thing. And I say that, but I also want to mention that it's still a need for people to get their vaccines. You know, we're not there yet. And to continue to be careful. But, yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm happy about it. I feel good. I'm outside today. That's always one of the best remedies. It has been throughout. This is fresh air. you know, outside.
Yeah, and I love that idea, Mayor Ganim. You're the first person to call in and call it like a mini Independence Day, but it is. You know, somebody wrote in saying it feels like freedom. It finally feels like freedom, having the choice if I'm vaccinated to wear a mask or not. You're right. I like that.
It's a good feeling. And as, you know, the timing with spring and, you know, Memorial Day right around the corner, we're going to be opening the parks soon. I mean, I'm in the park regularly anyways, but, you know, those type of things, flowers being planted. I don't want to minimize the continued challenges we have and things we're working on collectively, not just in Bridgeport, but beyond. But, you know, we got to stop and just pause, I think, a little bit and just, you know, take a deep breath. Things are getting better, slowly but incrementally, but getting better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Talking to Mayor Joe Ganim this morning out of the city of Bridgeport. Now, Mayor Ganim, speaking of business, I know this isn't as cheery as what we've been talking about, but we got to talk about what happened this past weekend. The underground shooting deaths of two people, not from Bridgeport, but this kind of sketchy 100 or so person party going on underground. It sounded like no windows, very sort of incognito. First of all, you know, I think that's kind of troublesome. And I think it was you I had heard quoted saying, we're not going to tolerate this in Bridgeport. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, this was not a sanctioned or open or known, at least to anyone that I know of, known location. So it's not the only one. There are others. It was not a good situation. And obviously, you know, two people dead, the tragedy of that, the loss of life, the impact on families. And what happened there is just was made it a very difficult weekend. It continues into this week. And, you know, this is the type of thing they're looking at all aspects of this right now. But this is not, I don't want to say it's not an isolated, it's terrible. It's double homicide. But they're doing everything they can now. We're doing everything we can. And I think what I saw over the weekend, too, in parts of the city was an outcry for a stronger partnership, better relationships and activities between, in many ways, between police and the community, and ways that we can enhance programs. I'm not saying the double homicide relates to youth, but in other parts of the city, we're looking to address the proliferation, the oversaturation of guns in the hands of young people. And how do we approach that? There's no silver bullet, but I think what I heard come out of other places in the city was a partnership, a feeling between the community and police. And I think that's the things we have to build on, too, at least with the bigger, kind of more expansive, not just in Bridgeport, but across the country.
And it sounds like, Mayor Ganim, your fire department in Bridgeport, the fire marshals, as well as the police department, the health department, it looks like they're working on identifying and shutting down other facilities like the one we saw this past weekend, and that this has kind of been an issue, especially during COVID. And I would imagine it's because of capacity limits, mandates in place, like sort of the secretive nature of these was so that they wouldn't be caught and they wouldn't be in trouble. But it sounds like the city is using every department possible to try to identify and shut these places down.
That's right. I think, you know, and appreciation goes out to, as you say, the health department, the fire department, the police department for this and the collaboration, because it's not easy. I mean, it's not something that's on your radar screen or necessarily brought onto your radar screen. And so they have to do an extra amount of work to try and help figure it out. And then the hope would be that one, shut down those that are not places like this, that are places like this, and prevent things like what happened over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim this morning. And Mayor Ganim, speaking of the police, do we have an update this morning? Two updates I would love. One is police recruitment numbers, and two, where are we at with ATV confiscations?
Yeah, recruitment numbers, I don't have a hard number on it. It's early in the process, I mean, as far as what we're seeing come back. And I'll have that maybe next week or soon therefore, we'll have better kind of a something that shows what's going on with that. And the ATVs, they do have numbers. The task force has been out there. I've seen reports. I've seen pictures of the ATVs they've confiscated. I don't know exactly the extent of what is happening to the drivers of those. I know there's a fine process up to $500 and so on. But so we are on that. Look, it's going to be continue all through the summer season. And they're not going to go away, you know, one night with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 arrests. But the process has started and they're out there. It's another task force I want to say thank you to, in addition to what you mentioned with regards to the police, fire, and health department working together on trying to shut down these after-hour or illegal locations around the city.
And again, a reminder to people, if you are operating one of these vehicles, you will be fined $500 if you are found. And it sounds like, Mayor Ganim, that the city council wants an ordinance to fine gas stations who are giving fuel to these illegal riders. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, we looked at what New Haven was doing as far as an ordinance. And New Haven has an ordinance in place. Mayor Elliker and I know the city council in New Haven is obviously trying to do all they can do, and they have the same issue as we do as the other cities. Mm. So we're looking at what they put out there, and I've read it. And you're right. One of the options is to find the gas stations, because they know when you pull in. I mean, it's obvious when somebody pulls in, they don't have a plate on the back. It's not street, what do you call it, street legal, mm-hmm. you know, with all the safety things. And then putting that aside right off the bat. So that's one way to approach it that we're looking at. And I think I spoke to the city council president about this too.
Okay. Well, Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim, we so appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for addressing everything that we had this morning. And we'll talk again next week.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Well, hopefully we are getting to the other side of these tough times. I know for today there are some huge options for businesses to either keep the mask mandate, change the mask mandate, eliminate it altogether. And every business is going to make their own decision. That's the thing that I definitely want to make sure everybody knows is not every business, not every town, not every city is just going to drop the mandate. They're not going to just drop capacity numbers. They're not going to just drop curfews or social distancing. It really depends on where you go that the rules are going to either change, stay the same, or be altered a little bit. And to give us a little bit of perspective, my goodness, Stu Leonard Jr., I think, has been on every news platform this week. And I thought, what about me? What about me? I mean, even Stu Leonard was on the press conference earlier this week with Governor Lamont, and he's here now to sort of talk about his plans for, of course, Stu Leonard's in Norwalk. And welcome back to the show, Stu. Good to have you here. How are you?
Hey, Melissa, great to be with you. How you doing?
Oh, it's very good to talk to you. I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. So first of all, Stu, tell us, first of all, just the difference. I know there was some confusion in what you're having your employees do versus your customers. I just wanted to understand, if someone walks into Stu Leonard's today, what are they going to find? What are the policies?
Well, first of all, the amazing thing, well, today's a big day, obviously, because this is the official day when Governor Lamont has said no mask policy in Connecticut if you're vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One thing that we have done, first of all, since this started, the pandemic, all of our team members have been working every single day.
Yes. You
know, at Stu Leonard's. And I give them a lot of credit. And we adapted Dr. Fauci's, regulations immediately. We were super quick to masks, gloves, hats, social distancing, plexiglass all over. And right now what we want to do is not be quick at reacting. We want to be slow at reacting. So there's still a lot of customers out there that are still apprehensive. You know, they haven't had their second shot. They're a little nervous about it. And we're noticing at Stu Leonard's, and we get like 20,000 customers a day coming through our stores in Norwalk, Danbury, and Newington. And we're noticing that very few of them are coming in with no masks today.
So far today, you haven't seen really a lot of people coming in without a mask.
Or yesterday, the day before, that's been in the news a lot, you know. And we've taken a survey on Twitter. One of the things we found was about half the customers are like, yahoo, I don't have to wear my mask anymore. I'm tired of wearing a mask. I've been wearing it all year. I want to get rid of it. I want to put lipstick on again, you know. and really there's another 50% that are a little apprehensive and not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our business here at Stu's, I want to respect the customer. I want to make them feel safe. I want to make them feel their food is safe. The environment is safe. And so we're not rushing in to say to everybody, no mask policy at Stu Leonard's. Our team members are wearing masks. So far, our customers are wearing masks. We're not going to throw anybody out of the store if they don't have a mask. But you know, we'll see. You know, I got to take this day by day because, you know, today is a big news day, right?
Absolutely.
For no masks.
Yeah.
So I'll take it day by day. And you know, but my main thing is to respect the customers, and I want them to feel comfortable coming to Stu's.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know this voice as soon as you hear him open his mouth. Stu Leonard Jr. is here. We're talking about, obviously, a big day for businesses. Basically, it all falls on the businesses. Whatever they want to do, the state basically does not have a mandate over masks, social distancing, curfews, capacity numbers, all of that. So today's a big day for businesses. And Stu, you know, I'm curious. I noticed in the press conference with the governor, I applauded you that you said, look, if I ask someone, are you vaccinated? And you say, yes, I feel a lot more comfortable. I'm obviously paraphrasing. I don't remember exactly how you said it. But actually, you know, I'm curious from you. You know, you're a very successful businessman. So many people respect the work that you do. And of course, your father and in the long line of Stu Leonard's and everything. What would you say? Do you think it's appropriate? Do you think it's fair to ask people, you know, if you're uncomfortable, if they are fully vaccinated but not wearing a mask? And I ask this because from me personally, my father has his own business, a family business. I think it would be foolish for him not to ask people that, only because how can you just trust the honor system? You want to, but you also can't put your employees at risk. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that's the tough thing, Melissa. You hit on a great point there. How do you police this now?
Yeah.
I mean, if I even ask a customer and whatever they tell you, there's no proof. There's not like a little vaccination card that they have in their purse or their wallet.
Right.
So it's going to be very difficult. You know what? Look, honestly, I'm going to play it day by day right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've even surveyed all our team members at Stu's, and they are basically about the same way. It's like a 50-50 thing. Now, 50 are for taking the mask off, 50 want to wait a little bit. Now, I just want to, you know, we're handling food. So right now, they have to wear hats and gloves and uniforms, and I don't think most of our people really mind wearing a mask. It's another part of their uniform.
Right.
But I told them, you know, give me till, you know, Memorial Day. Let's see how this all shakes out in the state of Connecticut. And then we'll make a decision Memorial Day. We'll make a decision then.
Okay. So things could change in a matter of a couple of weeks for your employees. But it sounds like, look, if you're a customer at Stu Leonard's and you're fully vaccinated, you know, and you walk in, you are not going to be turned away from Stu Leonard's. But again, that could totally differentiate at any other place of business. So please check that ahead of time. And really quick, Stu, before I let you go, my understanding is you have a lot of job openings right now at Stu Leonard's, especially for the summertime. Where can people go to apply if they're interested?
Well, you can go to our website, StuLeonard's.com, and you can apply for a job. We're giving our team members who work here, the best source of our hiring is from our current team members. And we give them a $100 bonus if they refer a friend or something. So, you know, one of the things that we're doing now, we just upped that to $500.
Wow.
And we're going to give $250 to the team member who referred them and $250 to their friend who started working here.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. Plus, the nice thing, and Governor Lamont, I praise him for this because he's now offering $1,000 starting on Monday as a signing bonus. So somebody right now who is at home unemployed can basically, if they come to Stu Leonard, not only get the $1,000, but they can also get, you know, $250, plus their friend will get $250.
Yeah, not a bad deal. Well, Stu, what is your website one more time if people are interested and want to apply?
It's they can go to StuLeonard's.com.
Stu, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much, and I look forward to having you back on soon.
Keep all your enthusiasm going there. You know what? See, a story like even you started out, you know, right at the bottom of the whole business, didn't you?
Well,
an intern.
Yes, you know? I did. Yes, I did, Stu. Thank you for remembering that. Yep, I was 16 when I started here.
Yeah. And you know what's cool? You worked hard and you worked your way up, and that's what we encourage our people at Stu's to do too. You know, it's the same thing. Like 80%+ of our people have been hired from within.
Really? That's awesome.
And, yeah. And
that's
we
really
think
cool.
That's the best way to go. I applaud you.
Thank you, Stu. I appreciate you. Okay. Thank you so much. I'd love to have you back on really soon. I appreciate it.
You have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Connecting commerce to your community. Bridgeport Regional Business Council President and CEO Dan Onofrio is on the Listen in the Morning on WICC 600.
Well, it's a really big day today, Dan. Of course, you know, it's the opening, honestly, of, well, we call it the reopening, but really everything's been open. It's more of just dropping mask mandates and all of that. So I have to imagine you have been in touch with many businesses in the last couple of weeks getting ready for today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's an exciting day. It's kind of funny from the medical side. It's not like the virus is gone. It's not like all of a sudden, okay, we're back to normalcy. So there's a lot of, concerns still from the business side, and especially with the restrictions being lifted, or more specifically, the requirement to wear masks indoors is being lifted. And now it's just been downgraded basically, right, to saying if you've been vaccinated, you receive both shots, you don't necessarily need to wear your mask indoors, and restaurants and everyone else can kind of return back to normal, and that has put a little bit of pressure on some businesses, because it's not like most businesses are going to actually ask for your vaccine card to prove that you've been vaccinated. I think there's a lot of operational considerations that businesses are trying to figure out. So many of them are just going to allow people on the honor system, as the governor pointed out a couple weeks ago. And I think we just have to practice being safe still, and if you're not comfortable wearing, being in public spaces without your mask, then put it on. I think most people are going to respect that. So we're just helping businesses try to navigate those decisions.
I was going to say, Dan, what are people telling you? What are business owners saying to you? I would think the honor system makes a lot of people nervous.
It does, yeah, especially because, the folks who have gone rogue, I guess, for lack of a better word, that said, I'm not going to get the vaccine. You're not going to be able to call those people out, at the end of the day. So, but we're getting to the point where, at least from what we're hearing with the municipalities, we're not quite, I guess, at herd immunity. In fact, we had a couple physicians on Monday with attorney Phelan to help businesses and employers understand what, bringing their employees back into the workspace. I asked the question what is the threshold for herd immunity? And there isn't really a specific number, but they feel comfortable with the number of vaccines here in Connecticut that have been distributed. And, they feel comfortable that these restrictions can be lifted. So, I think it's going to be a personal choice on whether you do decide to wear masks, specifically indoors in a larger group setting. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. And I think with the warmer weather and people doing more outside, I suspect that the trend will continue to decline in terms of the number of cases associated with the virus spreading.
Now, Dan Onofrio, who's with the Bridgeport Regional Business Council, my question for you, Dan, is I imagine that you guys have been trying to give guidance, give just some ideas preliminary to, leading up to today, like what businesses should do, can do. I'm just curious, from your professional standpoint, what is appropriate? There were a lot of questions, especially from our listeners, as we headed into this week, where, business owners were kind of getting backlash if they asked customers, are you vaccinated? Or like you had mentioned, business owners don't feel comfortable saying, hey, can I see your vaccine card to prove that you are in fact vaccinated? But what do you think is sort of like appropriate? What is okay? What's like the standard that they should be doing? Because my heart breaks for business owners. I think making them cops, I know they've been doing that for about a year now, but I think now the pressure is so on them, and I think that they are going to deal with, in some situations, unruly customers.
Yeah, for sure. And, what we suggested on the call on Monday with a lot of these employers and businesses that were on the call is, I think they have to do what's appropriate for their business. So you're seeing a lot of the larger chains, basically saying, okay, we're just going to not require you to wear masks indoors. But I do think the smaller businesses, the ones that just don't have the manpower to really you know, enforce or police this thing. And it's really not appropriate, as you mentioned, for them to do so. I think, you know, I think they're going to just have to be, I believe many of them are going to continue with the way we've been doing it. And maybe even requiring people. I do. I think some of the smaller ones are still going to say, at least for the next month or so, kind of feel this out. And then, you know, they'll see how the response is from their guests. But I don't suspect people are going to say, okay, well, you're not allowed to patronize this place if you don't wear a mask. Obviously I think people want the business, but, from their other, the other lens to look at it through for the employers is the safety of their employees.
Sure.
We've heard a lot of employers talk about, keeping their employees safe, and many of which, are immune, they have issues with their immune system or other issues. So I think you're going to see a lot of some of the stuff we've been experiencing over the last year. And I do believe generally most people are good, and I think most people are going to respect, at least for the next few weeks, and until things, people get comfortable with being in larger settings and larger groups of people without the masks. So, you know what? It's not so bad.
Yeah, but it's fair to say, Dan Onofrio, that there's no like exact proper etiquette on how businesses are supposed to go about this, because I know there are questions of, this is a HIPAA violation. Oh, okay, fair, but you don't have to answer the question if they ask you. But I also think that we have put businesses in a position where they don't trust the honor system, and I don't blame them. I mean, we don't even trust leaving our cars unlocked in our driveways, because who knows who's going to pass your car. So, I mean, why do we expect our businesses to just trust the honor system? Like, we're not giving them a lot of options on having better etiquette, if you will. At least that's from my point of view.
No, you're 100% correct. And, I think businesses, they should be commended for the experience they've been through this last year and how they've managed it. And, these guidelines have been, it's been fuzzy from the onset, and now it's going to get a little bit more fuzzy with just, okay, masks are not required any longer. So I think they'll handle it appropriately. And I think, like I said, people are just going to have to be patient with the businesses and patient with their customers as we navigate the next few weeks.
Dan Onofrio with the Bridgeport Regional Business Council. So appreciate having you on this morning. Good luck, and we'll talk again next week.
Great. Thanks, Melissa. Talk soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.